This evening, turn to... I don't have my mic on. Take your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 22. Thankful for Camp Joyce. Spent many summers there as a camper, at least for a week anyways. And also for the continued ministry of being able to go to the men's retreats, especially the deacon's retreat, always is a blessing and a challenge. And appreciate some of the preachers that they're able to bring in and some of that time set aside to just to get some spiritual rejuvenation. And just appreciate the staff, those that give of their summers, those that give their whole year as well to work at camp. And thank you so much for your ministry there at the camp. You know, for a camper, you know you're going to camp and it's almost like, boy, I better, you know you're going to hear some convicting messages. And sometimes it's like, I better get some, you know, it's almost like you better get some things right before you go there because you know you're going to get convicted when you go. But Matthew chapter 22, and we are going to mainly be looking at verses 29 and actually verse 29, but to get some of the context, let's begin in verse 23. We're also going to go to a couple other passages. But Matthew 22, verse 23 says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." Have you ever been out on soul winning before and met somebody, and maybe they thought they were going to ask you a question that would stump you or would maybe take your theology and make it look like it didn't work or it was crazy or something was wrong with what you believed? And maybe they gave you a hypothetical situation to counteract what you believed in. And here we have the Sadducees giving the Lord Jesus Christ a hypothetical situation, thinking that their argument and their reasoning was going to stump him or was going to make what he believed look foolish. But here the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously in his great wisdom, and being God, was able to answer them and gives us some great understanding and insight into understanding God's ways and really being able to understand what is correct doctrine and what God's will is for our lives. And he says in verse 29, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Tonight I'd like to look at four keys really to having direct, correct doctrine in your life, or four keys to understanding and knowing God's will for your life. You know, what is doctrine? Well, it's teaching. What does doctrine do? Well, doctrine has practical ramifications, applications to our lives, and the outgrowth of correct doctrine in our lives is going to be correct behavior. And here the Sadducees, really the liberal side of those involved in Judaism were coming with their false doctrine to Christ. But Christ was able to show them what was correct. The first key we find really to understanding and knowing God's will, knowing God's plan, is first of all, you must know the Scriptures. Now this seems basic, but it is the key to understanding God's plan, to understanding God's ways, to knowing God's specific will for our lives, is to know the Scriptures. Christ is speaking to the intellectual crowd, speaking maybe to the rationalists, to the ones that thought maybe that they could explain away the Bible, maybe to those that thought they knew the Bible. And what's interesting in here is that here is a passage of Scripture that they probably knew by heart. This is something that they probably knew very well, something that they were proud of, but yet they missed the message that that verse was communicating. And in verse number 32, taken from Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, Christ says, or verse 32, "Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob?" Here's something that obviously these people had probably read often, something that they knew. I mean, maybe some of them didn't read the Bible much, but you would assume that they probably knew this verse, and yet they missed one of the messages that this verse was communicating, that God is the God of the living. The Sadducees were those that did not believe in the resurrection. And so their error was that they did not know, they did not have a real understanding of the Scriptures. They had a theological system, so to speak, that was guiding, you know, their understanding of Scriptures. And yes, we need to have correct theological systems, but our theological system must be guided by Scripture instead of our theological system, so to speak, guiding Scripture. You know, what we believe needs to be formulated based upon Scripture. All right, we are, you know, dispensationalists. But why are we that? Well, because that is what the Bible teaches. But we don't take a theology and read it into Scripture, or every Scripture we read, draw what we believe, you know, taking something that enforcing it upon a verse. We need to allow the Scripture to guide us in our system of what we believe. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we find there's many out there trying to deceive us, trying to lead us astray with various false teachings. But notice the counteraction to that. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it may seem like a very simple truth, but it is very important to our lives, is that the key to having the correct doctrine, the key to knowing and understanding God's will for your life, is to know the Scriptures. You know, do we have an understanding of the Scriptures? Do we really know them? It's interesting. We had, you know, Dr. Nelson here, you know, last week. You know, and here he's close to 90 years old, and yet standing here proclaiming how much more, you know, of the Scriptures, if I remember correctly, he really wished he knew or understood. And here's a man, 90 years old, that's, you know, spent how much time studying the Word of God. You know, how much more we need to understand and know the Scriptures and how it will protect us from these false doctrine and from these false ways that are going to lead us astray. That ye be not, children, tossed to and fro. You know, it says, by the sleight of men. You know, their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? To deceive. We need to be grounded in the Scriptures. We need to be. We need to have a relationship with the Word of God daily. We need to make sure that we know God's Word. Not just reading it, but are we really seeking to know and understand the message that it is proclaiming? You know, you wondered, obviously, these people, after reading that verse, you know, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And here Christ proclaims the resurrection from that verse. You know, you wonder, how many verses have we read over and over? How many verses do we maybe know by memory, but we've missed much of the message that God is seeking to proclaim through that Scripture? We must know the Scriptures. There must be a understanding, a real understanding of the Scriptures in our lives. But we find here there's not only must we not just know the Scriptures, but we must also understand here the power of God. It says, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You know, what do the Scriptures proclaim? Well, one of the things the Scripture is proclaiming is God's ability to work. And here these people were caught up in a wrong theology that would not proclaim God's ability to work, and here specifically in the resurrection. We must understand God's ability to work if we are going to be able to properly understand the Scriptures. If we do not understand that God is able to accomplish that which He has said to do, if we do not have an understanding of how much God can do in our lives, we're not going to be able to apply the Scriptures to our lives like we ought. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, as Paul is praying for the Ephesians, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. All right, so the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being what? Being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And notice this, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So notice here the working of His mighty power and how is it that is associated with the resurrection. Here's the Sadducees doubting really God's power, specifically in the resurrection. And here we have the two things again associated, God's power and the resurrection. All right, and what is it all associated with? The beginning of verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And what is one of the ways that we need to be enlightened? Well, it is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. That power that was needed for the Lord Jesus Christ to be resurrected from the grave is that same power that when we believe, we are resurrected, our lives are changed, and now we have received new life, the exceeding greatness of His power. You know, if we're truly going to have our eyes of understanding opened, one of the ways that that will take place is as we understand the power of God to work in our lives. You know, how far I fall short. To understand the ability of God to work. Folks, this is where really the Christian life comes down to. If we're going to know God's will, if we're going to be able to understand His ways, we must understand His ability to work. Otherwise, it's going to lead us down the wrong pathway in life. And we will be led astray. Notice Philippians chapter 3. Notice again, God's power associated with the resurrection. And how it guided Paul's life. Let's begin in verse number 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, so that I may know him. So this understanding of God, associated with what? The power of God and the power of his resurrection. Remember Matthew 22. You do greatly err, not what? Not knowing the scriptures, nor the what? Nor the power of God. Now notice here in verse 10, that I may know him and what? And the power of his resurrection. So part of understanding God is what? Understanding his ability to work. And that it really culminates in the power of the resurrection and the new life that is partaken of because of Christ's victory over sin and death. And the fellowship of his what? His sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So here, how did this transfer into Paul's life? This understanding of God's power, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we understand the scriptures, when we understand God's plan, and when that transfers into having an understanding of God's power, it's going to cause us to want to be faithful, to press, to exert ourselves into going forward for what God has for us in our lives. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now in verse 18 and 19 of this same chapter, it gives us the opposite. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So here Paul is pressing toward the mark, seeking to understand the power of the resurrection, being an example that they can follow. But then there's the opposite, that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, this evening, notice what it says, who mind earthly things. You know, is our focus on God and his ability to work? If we do not understand that, we are going to miss out, really, on properly being able to understand what God is seeking to communicate in his word. The Sadducees missed out on even believing in the resurrection because they did not understand God's ability to work in raising up somebody that is dead to new life. In Psalm chapter 34, you can see an example here of how understanding the power of God can guide us in a practical way in our lives. when we understand God's ability to work, it's going to influence the way that we live our lives. Verse number 3, it says, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them." Now do you believe that? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. You know, folks, this is proclaiming God's power and His ability to work on behalf of His people. The young, it says, O taste, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him, that puts his dependence upon the Lord. You know, we live in a sense, you know, United States, you know, we're going through economic struggles. Now, compared to across the world, really what we're going through and what some people are going through, in a sense, is very small. But as, you know, things continue as they are, we continue to, you know, pile up debt. Well, things are going to get a lot worse than what they look like now. You know, but it could be a temptation for people to not trust the goodness of the Lord and to make false decisions, to make wrong decisions in their lives. Because why? Because they do not understand the power of God. You know, there can be theological decisions that are made because people do not understand the power of God. You know, we live in a day and age in which churches are seeking to grow without God's power. And so they don't have God's power, so their theology is changing to a man-centered theology. You know, my dad made reference to the flyer about a new church. You know, we got the flyer in the mail, and if, you know, you examine the flyer, and it was almost like, boy, it'd be great just to send out a new flyer that kind of says the opposite message. And if you could time it to come like a couple days after that one came, and send out the opposite message, that church is not about us. Church is not about what we want. Church is about God and proclaiming who He is and giving the honor and glory to Him. You know, Revelation 4:11, "For Thou hast created all things, and for what? Thy pleasure they are and were created." You know, we weren't created for our own pleasure. We were created for God's pleasure. And you know what ought to guide God's power, ought to guide our ecclesiology? You know, we don't have to have a cafe in church in order to get people to come to our church. No, I mean, it's nice to have ice cream Sundays, but but you know, we don't need to have all the, you know, these things to draw people in, not to hear the word of God, but so that they can, you know, feed their flesh, so to speak. What do we need? We need God's power. And when we understand God's ability to work, when we understand that when we fear God and we follow His ways, He can work on our behalf, we realize we don't need all these man-centered methodologies to try to draw people in, because we don't believe God's power is sufficient to bring them in. If we're going to understand God's will, if we're going to understand correct doctrine, we must understand the power of God. You know, young people, if you do not believe in God's power, you will make wrong decisions in life. You know, parents, if you don't understand God's power, you're going to make wrong decisions in life. It could be as simple as God providing for a financial need in your life. You know, and are you going to put God first and allow Him to provide? Or are you going to put the financial need first because you doubt God's ability to work in your life? You know, do you see your children? You know, parents who maybe see their children going astray, and you know, they want to keep a relationship with them, so they instead of trusting God's ability to work in that child's life, you know, they leave a church with strong standards because they think it's chasing their children away from them. And so they go to a church with lower expectations so that their children will be drawn to them. And what happens? Well, they lose their children. They lose everything. And instead of trusting God's ability to work, when you follow His plan, they went their own way and lost out on what God could have accomplished in their lives. We see another key is that you must have the will or desire to obey God. If you are truly going to understand His plan and His will for your life. John chapter 7 and verse 17. Here again we have Christ speaking to the Jews. Verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You know, why did not the Jews understand, why did not the religious crowd believe in Christ and understand who He was? Why did they have a false understanding of the Old Testament that did not lead them to Christ, but led them away from Christ? Well, it's because they did not truly want to obey God and follow Him. They had their own system that they set up that really maybe drew attention to themselves and built them up as blind leaders of the blind. And because they did not want to obey God and truly follow His will, when Christ came along proclaiming who He was, they did not believe Him. You know, you will miss out on God's will. You will miss out on God's plan. You will follow false doctrine in your life if you do not have the heart to obey what God has. You know, young person, you're like, well, you know, I don't think what, you know, the church teaches on courting is for me. I mean, that seems a little crazy. You know, and why don't you understand it? Why? I mean, I don't understand. I don't see why it comes from the Bible. Well, it's because you don't have the will to obey. You know, in Psalm 111, verse number 10, notice what it says. Psalm 111, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we're going to have real wisdom in our life, what does it start? Well, it starts off with a reverence for who God is. Obviously, where does that come from? Well, it comes from the Word of God, which is going to enable us to understand the power of God. But notice the next phrase. It says, a good understanding have all they that what? That do His commandments, His praise endureth forever. You know, understanding comes as what? As we obey God, as we follow His Word. But don't expect to be able to understand, you know, why certain things are right if you're not willing to follow them. If you're not following them. You know, maybe those at camp, you know, some of you may be in a new environment. You know, Heather talked about how she came there and, you know, she didn't see things the same way that, you know, she was taught then. You know, but what takes place as we have that heart and that will to obey God, as we follow His commandments, what does God do? Well, that understanding comes. You know, but if you are resisting, you know, young person, if you are resisting what your parents are trying to teach you from God's Word, you say, I just don't see it. Well, one of the reasons is because you are not doing God's commandments. And you need to back off and you need to develop the heart. Allow God to place within you that heart of obedience. You must have the will, you must have the desire to obey God if you are going to truly understand His will and His plan for your life. You know, it's very easy if we say, oh, I don't really like that, and maybe just choose, oh, I'm not going to believe in that. You know, have you ever met somebody on soul winning and, you know, they didn't really like what they wanted to say, and so they kind of say, well, that's good enough for you to believe, but I believe something else. Well, what have they done? What are they resisting? They don't want a change in life. They don't want to obey it. And so because they don't want to obey it, they are not willing to what? Come to an understanding of what the Word of God is truly saying. You know, sin blinds us from truly seeing God's will and God's plan for our lives. And until we are willing to come into obedience to Him, we are not going to understand what He is trying to communicate to us through His Word. Then I'd like to look at one more key, and that's found in Romans chapter 16. Beginning in verse number 17, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." All right, so here are people that are proclaiming things, doing things that are contrary to the doctrine which they learned. How does Paul say to continue in the right path? Well, it says avoid them. It says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." They're out there for themselves. They're not out there to truly help people, even though they may make it look like they are there for you. They're serving their own belly. It says, "By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, of those that are not wise." By good words and fair speeches. You know, we need to be careful. There are those that are out there that can give a great speech, so to speak. You know, there are people out there that we must be warned about. They are going to be fair speeches that can very easily deceive those that are not grounded in God's Word. You know, if you're going to make an important decision in life, and you have not developed the wisdom, maybe you think you have, but you haven't developed that wisdom yet. You know, you need to humbly go to somebody that God has, that's walked with God for a number of years, and say, "Hey, what do you think is the decision that I ought to make in this situation?" Because we can be very easily deceived. Notice verse 19, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." You know, God does not want us to experience sin so that we can know how bad it is. You know, here are these people. You know, they were not to go and mess around with these people. Why? Because these people would deceive them. But Paul wanted them, the Lord wanted them to have an understanding of that which was good. And really, how are God's ways best known? Well, God's ways are best known by surrounding ourselves with that which is right. By surrounding ourselves with that which is righteous, by that which is holy. You know, the ways of God are best understood through innocence, through not experiencing the pathways of sin. And you think of a negative example of Lot's children. You know, what did Lot's children... I mean, Lot's children should have known what wrong was, right? I mean, they were right in the midst of it. Did that help them? It didn't. I mean, look at what even the two children that went with Lot and went out of the city and the great sin that they committed after they left the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, the righteousness is not learned by experiencing sin. It's only going to harm us. In verse number 17, what does he say? He says, avoid them. Stay away from them. Be warned of them. You know, it may, verse 18, it may look good on the outside, but these people are not there because they are concerned about your spiritual well-being. They are only concerned about themselves. And you are the one that is going to be the victim of what they are seeking to do. And Paul here is giving them a warning. The ways of God are best known by staying away, by separating yourself, by being innocent, so to speak, of that which is wrong. You know, of not even knowing about it. You know, sometimes, you know, somebody wants to start, you know, talking about something, and it's just like, you know, don't even say it. You know, don't even want to get your mind having to think about it. You know, and God wants us to guard what we allow to come in. You think of a positive example, Samuel, you know, being, you know, brought up in the temple, or being brought up in the tabernacle. There was not the temple yet. You know, what kind of environment are your children going to be brought up in? What types of things do you allow into your home? Do you truly want the ways of God to be understood by your children? You know, the best way for that to take place is to keep them from those things. We get bombarded by enough stuff in this world, but without inviting it right into our homes. Do we understand that the ways of God are best understood by separating ourselves from evil? You know, don't begin to think that you can handle false doctrine. You know, don't begin, young person, to think, well, I can handle the public school. I mean, you know, I'm pretty strong. You know, if you think you're pretty strong, it probably means you might be somewhat weak. And we need to realize that we need to seek to learn God's word, to really have that relationship with God, that we might be wise concerning that which is good. You know, tonight, how is the will of God being worked out in your life? Do you really know the scriptures? Do you understand God's power in your life to work, to accomplish that which He has promised? Do you understand the ways of God? That you don't have to experience sin to know that it is wrong. You know, and do you have that will that says, you know what, I might not completely understand this, but you know what, I am willing to obey what God has for my life. You know, and when we have that willingness to obey, God can give us the understanding that we need so that we can follow His will completely for our lives and be of service to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the country that You have given to us. Lord, we live in a self-centered society. Lord, we look at the New Testament and, Lord, these people that were seeking to draw others astray were self-centered. Lord, I pray tonight that we as Your people might be warned to watch out, that we would not be led astray. Lord, that the wind of false doctrine that is blowing would not cause us to quickly run from the spiritual foundation that we've been given in your word. Lord, may we tonight, may you empower us through your power, Lord, to help us to understand, Lord, the greatness of your power. Lord, I pray that we would have a renewed sense of the importance of the Word of God in our lives. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, how many would say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart, and you know, this issue maybe that you've been struggling with, you just haven't seen it, so it's hard to, it's hard to obey something when you don't understand why you're supposed to do it. But you say, you know, tonight I realize my lack of understanding in this area of God's Word is because I don't have the heart that is willing to obey it. I really don't want to obey it. You see, tonight, Lord has spoke to my heart that my lack of understanding